Thank you, Dr. Stensis. It is a great blessing to be here. In fact, at my age of 92, it is a blessing to be anywhere in the world. But it is a special blessing to be here. And just to view this congregation and realize that God is doing a great and unbelievably work here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 is my text. And the Bible says this, okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. My history of school, of course, I started to school when I was 6 years old, like everybody else back in those days. And I hated school. I remember more than one time, I lived in a little town called Nortonville, Kentucky. Big metropolitan area of 500 people, okay? And we had a main street and we had a back alley. And my mother, in the first grade, would walk me to school down the main street, and then I would go to the back alley and beat her home, and then she would literally beat me back to school. I wasn't smart enough to say this, but my cousin, he didn't like school, and he told his mother and dad he didn't want to go to school. And they said, "Why don't you want to go to school?" He said, "Well, all they do is read and write, and I can't do either one." So that's the history of my beginning. But once I got into school, I've always loved school. I know that's a little bit strange. I think one of the saddest days in my life was when I graduated from high school. I remember sitting in the auditorium that day, literally weeping because I was leaving high school. Now, I don't know why, but I had so attached myself to the school. And you're going out into an unknown and so forth. And so then I had to go to college. And it was very difficult for me. But once I got started into college, I learned to love the college. So in reality, I've been in education about all of my life. The first part of my life, I pastored in a little town called Silent Run. You can tell by the name Silent Run, it was a big metropolitan area, okay? It was a suburb of Rabbit Ridge, okay? So you can imagine the size of the place. But the amazing thing to me was that God would let me be a preacher. And when God began to call me to preach, I never ran from the call to preach. I've heard preachers talk about I ran and ran, and I never ran. In fact, I can remember as a high school student that I would go to church, of course, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night training union, preaching service and so forth. And on Sunday night, I would walk my girlfriend, who eventually became my wife for 65 years. And I would walk her home. And then on the way back to my house there in the little town, I would rehearse Brother Ratliff's sermon in my mind and imagine me preaching there. So I never ran from the call to preach. But as a young man, 17, 18 years old, God began to deal with my heart about being a preacher. And again, I wanted to be a preacher. But I heard Adrian Rogers say one time that I knew God had called me to preach. And he said, God has called a lot of people to preach. But the only problem is a lot of them don't have anybody to listen, okay? And I thought, I'd like to be a preacher, but if I'm going to be a preacher, I'd like to preach to people, okay? Anyway, that's my thinking along those lines. And it's such a blessing to be here. And Brother Stensis, you are doing an unbelievably great job. I look at this auditorium, and what did you do in that little auditorium, okay? And aren't you glad that you traded from little to big? And maybe now in a few years you'll have to build more. But God is blessing and using you, dear people, in a wonderful, wonderful way. So from the text that I read today, study. Now, why study? Of course, the purpose of studying is that we may obtain knowledge. But just obtaining knowledge does not do anyone any good. It is what we do with the knowledge that we obtain that makes a difference in the world. Study is not a bad word, okay? Study is a good word. But then it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Why study? Why study the scriptures? Why study history? Why study English? Why study anything? Is that we might be better equipped to do the work of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In other words, isn't it wonderful to think that we can do something that pleases God? That's an amazing thought, is it not? Then the amazing thought is that God would use somebody like me. I was born in 1933, so that won't take you long to realize that I'm 92 years old. And I wonder if there's anyone even close to that age. How many people are over 80 years of age? Lift your hands, would you? 80, okay? Don't be embarrassed, okay? Nothing wrong with being 80. How many of you are 90? Anybody 90 or more? Okay, this is not unusual, so I'm the oldest person here. So you have to listen to me what I say, okay? And I was born and reared in Western Kentucky, a little town called Nortonville. And 1933, anybody that was born close to that age, that date, knows that it was a very difficult time for everybody. Now, we were very poor. My dad was a coal miner, made very little money. And even the money that he made many times was not used for the right purposes and so forth. And my mother was a very hard-working mom. I mean, some good things I remember is a big bowl of gravy every morning. And maybe a little bit of a streak of lean bacon. And always some homemade biscuits. Wow. Now, they weren't those knocking biscuits where you hit the can on something. But she would make those homemade biscuits, you know. And my beginning was, as far as studying, I was the first person ever to go to college from my family. In fact, I was the first person that ever graduated from high school in my family. And the first person to naturally to go to college and so forth. And I look back over those days, and I think how good God has been to me. When I graduated from high school, the farthest I had ever been from Nortonville, Kentucky, was 90 miles. My family was very cultural. They took me to the opera, the Grand Ole Opera, okay? And it was 90 miles from Nortonville to that. And I look over all of those years and you know, what God can do when we are totally committed to Him is absolutely phenomenal. I've now been able to go to some 92 different countries around the world. I have 3,600,000 miles on Delta Airline. I mean, they know me by my first name. I never will forget one day a stewardess came to the seat where my wife and I were sitting, and she said, Mr. Sisk, is anything I can do for you? And Virginia looked at me, and she said, how did she know your name? And I said, oh, well, I've got a lot of stewardess that know my name. And the reason she knew my name was my relationship with Delta Airlines. But I think of when I got saved. I got saved when I was 16 years old. Thank God for that. I mean, at the age of 16, I had done enough, seen enough, and heard enough to damn anybody for eternity. But by the grace of God, I got saved. I remember sitting in classroom one Monday morning, and Bill Welch saying to me, Don, we have a Youth for Christ meeting on Saturday night. And he told me the church where it was at. And he said, I wish you would be my guest. And I thought, okay. Bill, you're a good friend. I don't have any money. I know I don't have anything to do on Saturday night, so I'll go with you. And then I got to thinking, Youth for Christ. Youth, okay, I'm 16 years old. For Christ, I'm not a Christian. My wife's family's not Christian. And I began to look for an excuse not to go with Bill. And on Saturday morning, I woke up, and rather than looking for an excuse not to go with him. Now, this was my thinking. Not wrong or not, I don't know. If I'm not theologically right, you can correct me after church. Don't do it while I'm trying to speak, okay? But I woke up on Saturday morning and thought, I'm not going to look for an excuse not to go. I thought, I've been to church enough. You know, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, little church building they had there. They never had a regular pastor in the little town where we were at. occasionally somebody would come by and preach, and we'd have church services and so forth. But, and I had heard the gospel. I'll never forget an old-fashioned Methodist preacher preaching on the grace of God one day. And I could never forget that sermon that he preached on the grace of God. But on Saturday morning, I decided I'm going to church tonight. And I don't know what they do, but I know at the end of the service, they always sing a song. And people stand up, sing the song, and they invite people to come forward. And I thought, I don't know what they do after they go forward. But must be something good, so I'm going to do that tonight. So sure enough, I went to church. I don't have any idea who the preacher was. I don't have any idea what he preached. But as soon as he gave the invitation, I went forward. People seemed a little bit shocked that anybody would go forward, I think. But the good thing was there was a Baptist preacher that followed me down the aisle, Gifford Berry. And Gifford Berry and I kneeled at the altar that night. And he showed me some things that I knew, that you're a sinner. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. If you died in your sin, you'd spend eternity separated from God in hell. And I knew there was a hell. I don't know how many times I lay on my bed at night and thought, I hope I don't die tonight. If I died tonight, I'd wake up in hell. I didn't know how to get saved. And anyway, I went to the church. And as we was kneeling there, he began to show me, you're a sinner. If you died in your sin, you'll spend eternity in hell. But I got some good news, Don. Jesus died for you. Hey, by the way, that's not good news till they hear it. There are billions on planet Earth tonight. The gospel's not good news to them. Why? Because they've never heard it. But he told me, yeah. And he explained to me the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. And that night, and I knew very little Bible, had not been to church very much. But that night, as best I could, knew how, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I don't remember all the things that I said, all the things that I did. I don't remember the prayer that I prayed. But I know that when I got up off of my knees that night, I had something in my heart I had never had before. And that was the peace of God. And I've often thought about this. That night, I went to church on my way to hell. And I went home on my way to heaven. Isn't God good? I mean, you know, people make salvation so difficult. Somebody said to me one time, he said, Brother Sisk, you make it too simple. Well, I don't think God is trying to hide salvation. It is simple. I love Dr. Ford Porter's little tract. I've got one in my pocket, and I carry them all the time. God's simple plan of salvation. And, you know, by the way, Dr. Porter wrote that tract the year I was born. Now, I didn't know Brother Ford Porter then. I knew him later, but when he wrote the tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, and many of you have seen it, probably just about everybody here has seen that tract. He said, we're going to have 1,000 printed. That'll be enough for every family in Marion, Indiana. And he said, we're going to give them out, every family would have a tract, we'll have some left over. And little did he know that that tract would be printed into the millions. Millions and millions. In fact, in the Expo 70 in Japan, we ordered 1 million of those tracts and went to the fair, Expo 70, 4 different times and gave out 1 million tracts. God's simple plan of salvation. But that night, when I got up from my knees praying, asking God to be my Savior, and I had peace of God in my heart. By the way, I still have it, amen. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. Just think about it. I made peace with God that night. Before that, we were alienated. Enemies. But that night when I trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the enmity was all over. And I was reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Wonderful, wonderful salvation. If you're here tonight and you have never personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, please don't gamble with the destiny of your soul. I said to a lady one day, I was going to see my wife. She was in the rehab center after knee surgery. Both of us had to have knee surgery. For some reason, we let her go first. I'm not sure why. But anyway, she did well, so I had both knees replaced. But while she was in rehab, I went by to see her one day. I went every day for that matter. But on this particular day, at the desk, as you go into the rehab center, the young lady that usually was there was not there that day. So I didn't stop. I just started down the hall to the rehab center. And she said, sir, do you know where you're going? I said, oh, yeah. My wife is in here. I come to see her every day. I know where I'm going. And then I started down there, and she said, do you know where you're going? And I thought. And I said to her, ma'am, I not only know where I'm going today, I know where I'm going when I die. And she said, I can't buy that. And I said, you're right. It's not for sale. It's a free gift, amen. And I showed that lady how she could know she was saved and going to heaven. Wonderful. Greatest story ever told. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The greatest thing that ever happened to me is to be able to take my Bible and show somebody how they can know they're saved and going to heaven. Because that was such a great gift that God study to show thyself approved unto God. Why study? Why spend all those hours studying history and English and math and study? Study to show thyself approved unto God. And then he used the word workman, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In other words, every one of us should be students. I remember being on an ordination council years ago, and the man being ordained was a seminary student. And one of the people on the council said to him, James, are you going to finish your education even though you are being ordained? And of course, James said, yes, I'll finish my education. And when I got up to preach, I said, James, if you ever finish your education, quit preaching. There is no end to finishing our education. I mean, I'm 92 years old. I'm still learning. Okay? We learn until we die. By the way, when you stop learning, you start dying. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Everybody, we talk about full-time Christians. Everybody ought to be a full-time Christian. I mean, you know, you don't just come to church Sunday morning, sit, sour, go home no better than you were when you got here. Why do you come to church? You come to church so God can change you. We're listening every time we come to church to God's man as he preaches the word of God, to the hymns that we sing all and so forth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. I've been in the ministry 70 years. I started in a little church. And thank God they let me preach. I could never get over the fact that God had called me to preach, and then a church called me to be their pastor. I've never got over the fact that God would use somebody like me. And I believe he will use anybody that is committed unto him. I think he's got a big sign. Help wanted. Help wanted. If you're not in the process, if you're not in the activities of trying to win people to the Lord, you're out of the will of God. What did Jesus say? Follow me, and I will make you what? Okay. If you're not fishing for souls, you're not following Jesus. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I thank God for First Baptist Church. It is a joy to see what God is doing here. And to the graduates, whether it be high school, whatever diploma, whatever degree that you may receive, we call it a commencement service, not a finished service. Okay? In other words, you that are getting degrees or diplomas, whatever it is, that's not the end. It's not a finished thing. It's a commencement. You are beginning something. And by the way, you may be fortunate. God may let you live as long as I have. And you may not live another day. But regardless of whether we live long on this earth or a very short life, I mean, by the way, longevity within itself is absolutely nothing. Jesus Christ only lived 33 years. But whether we live, whether we live to be old or whether we die young, all of the days that we live, we ought to be a good workman for Jesus Christ. I'll never forget the first service, the first person I led to the Lord. I was pastoring at Silent Run Baptist Church. And there was a lady, Charlene Edmondson. She and her daughter came to church every Sunday, to Sunday school. But they would never stay for church. And one day I was sitting in my study, and I thought, Charlene is never going to come to church. So I know that she and her daughter are home, and I'm going by there, and I had watched a man lead another man to the Lord. I'd never seen anybody saved except at the altar at church. That's just the atmosphere of the day. But I watched Dave Brown win Ruby Jackson to the Lord in his home. And by the way, I believe it from the depth of my heart, soul winning is better caught than taught. I mean, when you watch somebody lead somebody else to the Lord, that sets you on fire. And I thought, Charlene is never going to come to church. So I'm going to her house. And I drove down that dusty road, my brand new 1955 Chevrolet. And the closer I got to the house, the less I wanted to go. The car stopped. I got out of the car, went up to the door. I knocked on the door, and Charlene came to the door. And I said, Miss Edmondson, I'm from the Silent Run Baptist Church where you go to Sunday school every Sunday. Oh, yeah, I know you, Brother Sid. And tears came in her eyes. And she said, I'm sure glad you came today. I was just listening to Rupert Utley preach on the radio, and I need to get saved. And I said, okay, Charlene, you come to church Sunday morning, and when the invitation is given, you come forward. No, I'm lying, amen. I sat on the front porch and led she and her daughter to the Lord. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, a fisher of men. Follow me. That's all you have to do. Follow Jesus. He said, I'll make you. You don't make yourself a fisher of men. Whatever we are, God makes us. Amen. The grace of God. We're saved by grace. We work by grace, we walk by grace. And one day when it comes time for us to die, we'll have the grace of God. I remember a lady saying to me one day, she said, Brother Sisk, I don't believe I have dying grace. And she was about 40 years old. And I said, are you dying? She said, no, as far as I know, I'm not dying. But I don't believe I have dying grace. I said, okay, you don't need it. Thank God you don't have dying grace tonight, amen? When we come to die, then God will give us dying grace. To the graduates tonight, congratulations on reaching a milestone. It's not the end, it's the commencement of a lifetime of learning. And I pray that many of you will find your way to higher education, preferably a good Christian college somewhere. Study is a wonderful thing. Obtaining knowledge is a wonderful thing if we use that knowledge for the glory of God. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is so simple. Listen to it. Whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? That God may be glorified. He desires to be glorified. And I believe you would agree with me tonight. He deserves to be praised, glorified. I've been in the ministry 70 years. Some of the roughest times. People see me now and they think, oh, he's always at it easy. And so they don't know the beginning, okay? They don't know the times in Japan when I wept all night because I'd try to preach in Japanese. I'd done the best I could, and a man got up and prayed, "Dear God, we love Brother Sith, but we didn't understand anything he said." And I wept that night and reminded God that it was not my idea to go to Japan. I was pretty happy in Kentucky. But eventually, through much study and so forth, God gave me the knowledge, the Japanese language, preached and taught. God did some great and marvelous things. By the way, I don't deserve any credit for any of it. It is all of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Let's pray. Could I see the hands of the ones that are going to graduate? You're in the graduate. Okay. Thank you. Dear Lord, I thank you that these people have reached a milestone in their life. They have completed the studies that is necessary for a certain diploma or degree, whichever the case may be tonight. And I pray that you would help them not to just put something up on the wall to remind people of how smart they are, but to use the great knowledge that they have learned during the preparation and the time of completing the degree, the diploma that they're working on. Help them to go on learning all of their life. Lord, help us to realize that we desperately need you. And then the exhortation, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And Lord, I cannot think of anything that would be greater than doing something, being something that would glorify you. Lord, I love you. I love this dear pastor. I thank you for the way you have blessed him. Lord, as I entered this auditorium tonight, I could not help but think how God used the people in a small building to say to this church, we need a smaller building. You need a larger building. Lord, I thank you for the providence of God. So many times we say, it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. It was a providence of God. I pray for those that are here tonight that may not be a believer. Would this be the good night, dear God, that you would speak to their heart and they'd come to know Jesus as their Savior. Thank you for First Baptist Church. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're doing. But most of all, thank you, dear Lord, for the great future that you have for this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.